The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? And welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host. Nah, fuck that, with your low, Glasses Malone. So Atlanta, I'm in Atlanta, doing No Ceilings. Shout out to Charlamagne, shout out to Black Effect, shout out to iHeart. It's weird because I'm with EP. And if you listen to my podcast, y'all know who EP is. We've talked about Irvin Pope a lot of times. Really fantastic producer. Produced the whole Cancel These Nuts from Watts Like Me, you know, produced on the first, you know, played and produced on the first four or five Kanye records, produced on Doctor's Advocate, executive produced LAX with Game, produced stuff for the latest Scarface stuff, Tech N9ne single, really dope dude, just really all around good dude. I got EP out here, EP, talk to the people, say hello.
Man, what's good, y'all? What's good, ATL?
Yeah, so this kind of podcast, like, right, is my podcast, I don't really interview. Like, it's, I like to think of my people as really smart. The people who enjoy No Ceilings are, like, really, really smart. Like, because I'll be taking them through some shit. This, you know how I think. We'll have some crazy conversations.
Yeah, I've heard and, the podcast.
And it's just a normal thing. Like, it's just what we do. You know what I mean? It ain't really nothing. So it's odd because I got my man. What's my man?
AJ.
So I met AJ before. So AJ is following me around with a camera, and me and EP. And it's so weird because, and I don't know if it's like, this is probably a problem, like in for me as an entertainer is, I just don't feel like my life is that interesting. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I know we walk in, talk to Dre, or walk in, talk to Tom, talk to Zaytoven, but is that really that interesting?
Just little stuff like that.
No,
just the names you just named.
Yeah, but I think I'm disconnected from like how people see things.
Yeah, because you've already acquired the relationships, and most people dream of even seeing these type of people. But it's nothing to you because you're not doing it for that reason.
I could see, like, if I was swimming with sharks. That would be like a dope behind the scenes. AJ take his ass in that water and them sharks swimming around him. Nigga, that's something to be behind the scenes.
But imagine a little aspiring rapper from somewhere that's a rural area who's never even seen what Toomp look like.
That's true. But I guess I don't know. I guess I just don't think the general public, like I was telling you, when I grew up listening to hip hop, I never in my life cared what Scarface did. Yeah. Like I really thought Scarface did the same shit as me. Like he was on the block selling rocks. Then he went to the studio, made his songs. It just don't seem like that would be that interesting to me.
But it's grown to that because of the social media presence. Now everything, like you always say, everything is visual. It doesn't only pertain to the product,
yeah,
but the lifestyle too.
I'm starting to think most people just never sold rocks, so that's like fascinating.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's like going to work. Like
yeah,
you know what? We need to set up something. I got an idea, AJ. Cause like, we need to actually have you follow somebody that work at Walmart and do a behind the scenes, and that's just their job. Like they wake like a regular nigga, like take the mail out of his box, get in the shower, get some cereal, go to his job at Walmart and talk to people. I think that's more interesting. The type of motherfuckers that walk in Walmart.
Yeah. To you.
That would be and like a lot of crazy. People that,
no, that's dope. That's
like a nigga work at Walmart. Yeah. Imagine the type of people customer or like somebody that work at Rallies or what they call it, Checkers in the South. Rallies or Checkers.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a crazy job. You know what I'm saying? That'll be some crazy shit, Taylor. Like, you just follow the day in the life of a nigga at Rallies or Checkers, and he just back there flipping burgers, and you watching him flip burgers. I bet you people will watch it.
Absolutely.
I just think we had a really weird juncture in society. Like, a really weird where we just so disconnected out our own personal lives. Like, all I ever thought about when I decided to be a rapper was to like make the soundtrack to your life or give you an escape to another life that you didn't know existed. I never looked at it because like, this is some kind of dream life. Like this shit is work.
Yeah.
We out in this motherfucker waking up and shit. We got the voice here. We ain't gonna tell y'all who she is. She said she don't want to be known, but her voice is sultry. Come on, say sultry. Something to the voice.
Hello,
sultry.
Atlanta.
Oh my God.
This is not Atlanta. See? So No Ceilings goes to everybody. We just in Atlanta.
Mm.
We just in Atlanta.
Hello world.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. No Ceilings. Like I've been thinking about like a name for my audience, the people that's with me, like the Beehive or the Kins and Barbs. I don't even know how you want to be that. Mm. Like that's just weird. Like the Kins and Barbie. Like it's some niggas that's infatuated with Kins. That's just weird.
That goes to my point earlier.
What's your point?
That people are infatuated of watching somebody else's life and trying to get anything from them to apply to their life.
Do you think it really is about applying to their life though?
That's why I watch certain people that I admire. Their grind, I watch to see who they're talking to or what they're doing or are they doing something different that I can apply to my grind that'll take me to the next level.
So I hope that's why people was doing that.
That's why I do it.
Yeah. I didn't really ever watch anybody's life. But you know what? That's true because I do get the benefit. Like right now on our way over here, I want to ask Battle Cat, like what happened to that When I Wake Up song with Snoop and Goldie that should have been on The Last Meal. And I just call Cat and like I'll ask, like, hey, why that didn't make the album? And listen to him tell the story.
Yeah.
It's not to tell a story for him to somebody else. It's just to know. I don't know the value of it. I've been talking to shout out to the homies from the LA Posse. Daryl, all the good Muff, all the good brothers. But like listening to their stories, like I don't know what it means. Just like when I talked to Freaky Dre, rest in peace, from Southside, and he told me the whole thing that happened with Pac and him. I didn't know the value of it, but I just listened to people who've had other experiences. So it seemed like better to me, like if I would talk to the camera and just talk about experiences. Like I think I'm more the artist that's like story time with glasses, more than like just follow me around and like me going to the interview and you listening to me talk. But I guess people are interested.
Have you ever seen Behind the Music?
No.
Those series that's, I think they were MTV or something.
No.
Okay, yeah. Essentially what they're doing is telling stories about whatever particular project or their journey.
See, now they might
have
watch
one.
That.
They might have one on the Earth, Wind, and Fire, or one on somebody that you admire.
We should make one for Cancel These Nuts. Make our own.
Exactly.
See, I just like produce content. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I guess that's how you get it, because you get behind the scene footage to add into the B roll and stuff that makes what you're saying. It documents it and it makes it authentic.
No.
I think you and I have had conversations on the phone before where I wish it would have been on a podcast.
Yeah. It's like, damn, this was good, Glasses.
Yeah.
Fucking voice is great. Taylor, this is the funny shit, right? So first off, No Ceilings, GL, you know what I mean? I got my homie EP, we in Atlanta, fellowshipping. Some people call it promoting. We call it fellowship because we meet other brothers and we politic and we build relationships. And we just happen to have dialect over cameras. But reality is, when I came out here, I came to get closer to Atlanta, to get the feel. You know, we stayed somewhere in the community. You know what I mean? Killer Mike dropped in. Shout out to Mike. Los has been great for me, Carlos Miller, like, you know what I mean? People I really genuinely like.
Mm-hmm.
The guys, I feel like we are kind of like the same type of brothers. I'm sure it's some significant differences, but we are kind of the same. And I got The Voice with me. That's her name, The Voice. Remember this. When you ever hear her on No Ceilings, it'll be The Voice.
The Voice.
And one day she may announce herself.
Can I ask a question? This
sure.
is for you.
Yeah.
So everybody says, if you're one of the OGs, you've been around for a while, why won't you feature with a new artist right now in Atlanta? Like, if I could take you door to door right now, why would you, is it a yay or nay?
With who? Like how? Like
anybody that's popping in Atlanta. Right
I
now.
Love Rich Homie Quan. That's who I
Rich
really
Homie
want to
Quan. Okay.
Like, I'm, okay, so.
I'm talking young.
Rich Homie Quan is pretty, like, he's probably the last generation of guys.
18, because remember 19, 20, 21.
Ain't no rappers 18, 19, 20 from Atlanta right
OMB
now
PZ.
That we know about.
OMB PZ.
PZ not from the A, is he? I thought PZ was from Detroit. He's from Atlanta?
He's out here now.
Well, but originally, PZ is, do you know, you
Where
listen,
is he
you
from?
Know PZ is? OMB PZ? I think he's from Detroit.
No, he's not.
Tyler, you can turn on your mic too. On No Ceilings, the engineer talks sometimes. So if you need to. Nobody gonna know you. Nobody gonna come find you later, but just in case. Yeah, I asked you something. You know what? It's not age for me, right? It's like, I genuinely believe when people listen to Glasses Malone, they want the West. Now, I don't mean that I can't feature with artists from the Midwest, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, artists from the South, Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, Florida, or the East, right? As any of the East Coast states. It's not that I don't genuinely think I can't rap with young or old. I think everybody can't rap over the shit we do.
So what about new production? Because you just got with Zay.
Yeah, they can't rap over that. Because Zay, when I kind of fuck with Zay, I've been building that relationship with Zay for about a year or a year and a half. Like, I've been talking to Zay. I mean, I knew Zay was forever, but I just never looked at it like, I didn't know how to use him. So for years, I would have never asked because I wouldn't have wanted to rap over trap music. Because I understood since 2010, people don't want to hear Glasses Malone be nothing else but the L.A. Crip, the Watch Crip that he is. You know what I mean?
So do you believe we can break a song from the West in Atlanta?
Yeah. We about
We're
to.
All of Atlanta.
Yeah,
we'll
all
be
of
rapping.
It. Yeah, because, okay,
right
like one of the biggest songs in Atlanta, in Los Angeles, is Spaceships on Bankhead. Fabo. I'm starting to see spaceships on Bankhead. Get up. That's a huge song at home, right? And I thought about it right today. I finally thought about it. And somebody told me, who was that who told me Fabo produced that?
I don't know.
Somebody told me it the other day. It was like Fabo produced Spaceships on Bankhead. So I've been following Fabo for years. So I DM Fabo, hey, I need me and you. I want to do a song with you, Spaceships on Bankhead. Now, he's not this generation, but like, I've reached out to Rich Homie Quan. Like, I think Rich Homie Quan is kind of the last generation of successful Atlanta artists that pretty much went national. Lil Baby, Rich Homie. Well, Lil, maybe a generation before. Like, Thug. He was out that Thug generation.
Yeah, he was.
So it's all 2010 to 2020. So I reached out to him. That's the person in Atlanta. I mean, outside of that, you know, you talking about new, like, Rich Homie Quan, I think he would do well. Like, I think he's probably one of the most underrated geniuses from out the A. So that's the kind of person I would need. So even when I came finally to fuck with Zaytoven, he had something special for me. We going to see Toomp today, right? I seen Toomp already, but we going to see Toomp. Toomp got something special for me. You know, they're like making stuff. Yeah, like Lil Jon, right? Lil Jon gave E-40 his biggest records.
Wow.
Right? Right in the middle of the Hyphy movie, right in the middle of the Thizz movement. The great producers, JD, like the great producers don't, they're not stuck in the region of sound. They can produce up, down, mid, anything. So
I don't know. Let me, I want to touch on that.
Sure.
So I had producers try to produce, okay, producers from Cali try to produce for artists out here in Atlanta. As soon as they heard it, they was like, no, it sounds like a West Coast beat or something. They couldn't find the essence or the roots. Do you find that with working with producers from Atlanta if you're trying to get a West Coast sound?
That's a great point, right? So a programmer and a producer is different. So like you might have people who program ideas, but if you go to Battlecat can make something that fits here the same way. Dr. Dre can make something that fits here the same way. If you listen to DJ Quick Class, if that would have been an Atlanta person's record, that would have been the number one record in the country. Like if you put 21 Savage freestyling, like making a song over Class by DJ Quick, it's the number one song in the country. You know what I mean? So I think it's a level of skill that, you know, and experience as well that needs to be applied for producers to do it. Rick Rock, right, for Jay-Z, gave Jay-Z, he produced Rock La Familia, Rick Rock from Northern California.
Yeah.
Dre gave Mary J. Blige, you know, from New York, R&B singer, her greatest record, right, which is that song with all the made-up words, holleration and danceries.
Yeah.
What about your biggest hit? What do you think it was? Was it a crossover with an artist outside of Cali, or do you think it was Cali?
So it depends on who you ask, like, right? My greatest, so okay, so this is tricky, right? So as far as hit, Certified probably will be considered my highest charting song, and DJ Toomp produced that with Akon. But I also understood why it worked at that time. Toomp was like the number one guy in the game, right? Toomp gives T.I. What You Know About That. He gives Kanye West Can't Tell Me Nothing. Jeezy, like he got all the shit. So I just happened to have one of those.
So timing is everything too.
Timing is important.
The era. Yeah. Like where we're at right now. So where are we at right now? Who's taking over?
Well, that's the point, right? We're in a fucking weird space.
I agree. I don't think it's Atlanta.
No. But it's not really any specific place, right? And so there's a couple reasons, right? Well, like producer waves create the moment, right? So which is why Atlanta's still probably holding on the torch. They may don't have the newest artists, but they have the producers, yeah, the role of producers producing.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I think? Mm. And let me know what y'all think.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta producers like with 808 Mafia and all them, Zaytoven, they actually started branding themselves as artists do. What other producers do you know really had that famous lifestyle with social media? On the West Coast.
It's not that prevalent on the West Coast. It's not that prevalent on the West Coast.
But I don't even know if that's why. You know, I understand why the marketing appeal of it could be dope, or the branding appeal of it could be dope, right? But also, like, Future is still one of the biggest artists in the game currently. Thug, right, mm-hmm. before he goes to prison, you know, he's fighting his charges, rather. He's one of the biggest artists in the country. Gunna, minus his, you know, his horrible decisions to volunteer information to the police, mm-hmm. is one of the hardest, you know, one of the greatest artists in the game. Lil Baby, the music, the rappers are being produced by the same guys. Like, Zay is still producing stuff for people that's in this movement.
Yeah.
Versus Battle Cat is not producing on YG's album.
Right.
Dr. Dre is not producing on Kendrick's album.
So there's no more real producers. You know, in our time, when you had someone you were working with, that was your producer. So now we kind of bounce around. Is that what you're saying?
Not in Atlanta.
No?
Zay came with Gucci. Toomp came with Tip. You know,
So we lost our loyalty.
No. Okay. No. So something's... okay. No. So...
EP?
No. This is what I think before you even go. He as a producer, it's important to get his opinion. But somewhere after the 2000s, the greatest producers from the West stopped taking on new clients.
Mm.
Dr. Dre is the only person who took on a new client as far as established producers, right, in the game in 2005. He didn't produce another whole album on a brand new artist after that, right? Which is fair because, goddamn, this nigga been working 40 years. Like, Surgery came out in, what, like 83 or?
Early 80s,
83, 84, Surgery.
Going towards R&B.
Well, and then 2005, he does the Games album, right? So what's that?
Yeah.
The third 20 years or something? 20 plus years of him producing artists.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Cat's last brand new artist that he produced consistently, not to take credit from his brother, mm-hmm. but outside of that, he didn't really produce after the Eastsiders. DJ Quick didn't really produce after Sugar Free like that. So there was this great span from probably 2000.
And Quick tried with Mossberg, but I mean,
Moss died. Yeah, Moss died in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But like when my era, because my era came and that became a problem, like Glasses Malone, Nipsey Hussle, J-Rock, Kendrick Lamar, Battle Cat, all of those guys, we came out around, Glasses Malone, Bishop Lamont, Mike Stroh, Nipsey Hussle, J-Rock, you know, Problem, Kendrick Lamar. None of us received that production from those guys. We never, they never produced our whole albums. And that kind of became where we started to struggle.
That's true.
It didn't work until it skipped, and then Mustard, right, who kind of started getting his feel from, you know, everything that was going on with Hyphy and Thizz, and they made their own movement.
That's right.
And then you get YG and Mustard and Ty Dolla $ign, who also is an underrated producer.
But for the last 10 years, I already realized that, and I've been trying to develop an artist, because I don't feel like you're a super producer unless you break an artist and introduce something new into the game. And, well, you know the history, bro. I've been trying to do complete projects or producer and artist for the past 10 years, but they just haven't worked out or come out.
Or even pursued it at the highest level.
At the highest level.
It's a tough out.
Yeah.
So, but that's why I say I do give you credit and different producers from around the way credit that's trying. It's not a lot. But I'm saying right now, like, right, getting him with Dr. Dre, like, he's different because he kind of is really good. But I'm sure there's a benefit to if Dr. Dre, hey, man, E, let me help you with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been in the game long enough, but I'm sure you're not going to be like, man, nigga Dre think he helping me. Like, I don't think that's his response. Battle Cat, when I came to him with Fed Up, and I'm like, man, I got an idea for Battle Cat to do something here. And he was like, all right, let's do it. So it's like getting them together, watching them work on mixing an idea or producing an idea, finishing the mix. And it's imperative that we get the information that these dudes who've been doing it at the highest levels and having success at the highest levels pass on to everybody. Even working with somebody like EP, who they all know because they know he could play and he could produce. You know, it's crazy that, you know, there's not it's not more tracks with Battle Cat and EP. That and the reality is, sometimes it is up to, like, an executive mind to push people into the room with each other. So, like,
because that's where we're always thinking of collaborations.
Black music is all about the power of us, too. Like, hip hop is about representing us.
Yeah.
Black music is about the power of us. Mm. All black groups. Remember, the people be sleeping. Teddy Pendergrass came from a group. Michael Jackson came from a group.
A lot of times that's not built on. It's not built out of them knowing the potential. It has to be reality and for them to actually get in the room and do stuff. Right, so you gotta create something successful before they'll be like. Because I reach out to everybody, bro. I'm connected with everybody. But getting them in the room and actually doing something, it takes a lot of the time. You creating something successful as we're doing now, before they will actually put the motion behind the thought.
Yeah,
and get in a room and actually produce something.
How would you feel at this point the album is doing right now, considering the media runs that we've done?
I think it's doing great. It's a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be harder. I mean, really, it's harder for me because I don't really trust people's taste. People just got bad taste. I had this whole conversation yesterday, right, and I posted on Facebook and Instagram where I said, look, black music is judged differently. We don't judge black music by complete success. Like, I can see if it's an album that nobody likes, but I was having this conversation in 1987, what's the better album, right? And Make It Last Forever by Keith Sweat or Bad by Michael Jackson. I expect nobody black to say Bad by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it was entirely too many people saying Bad by Michael Jackson.
It's two different genres, though.
I don't give a fuck what genre it is.
Unless you believe that pop
Keith Sweat is just better. Make It Last Forever is just better.
I love that, right?
It's just better.
Hands down, top to bottom, it was brand new. It's just better. Yeah.
I do agree.
And Michael Jackson, that's not to say Keith Sweat obviously is anywhere in the same arena as Michael Jackson.
Right.
As Michael Jackson as an artist. Because Michael Jackson is not really bad as much as he's Thriller, Off the Wall, in Jackson 5, and all kind of success. But again, when you ask black people this and they don't have enough blackness to know the difference, they can't go listen to Make It Last Forever and think to themselves like, this is different. And they like, well, this Michael Jackson. Like, people was talking about, you know, Dirty Diana. I'm like, Bro, don't nobody fucking play mm-hmm. Dirty Diana. That's not to say Dirty Diana is not a fantastic song. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a it's a great pop.
Which one
record.
Of the projects can you live without?
And that's crazy. Mm. Like, Bad is corny.
Yeah.
The single is corny.
Do you ever go to Bad to listen to it?
No.
That's true.
Do. Your butt is mine. I remember they was asking Prince about that shit. Prince was like, oh, what the fuck? Mm. I was supposed to be a duet with both of them. But and that becomes my concern, right? Where it's like, so back to my record, it's like, I didn't know what to think. Because I knew when we finished it and put it together, when Counting These Nuts was finished, I knew it was special. I knew I plugged it all the way in. I know EP pretty much gave everything that we needed. Mm-hmm. I knew I plugged every socket in to make the whole house light up. Every song was plugged in. So it's a well-lit project.
Right.
But do I trust people who think Bad is a better album than Make It Last Forever to think that it's good? Fuck no.
We're in a different era too, though. We don't have that much variety now, so we're waiting on something great.
Are we waiting though, or is the media curving? What do you? Because
I think it's a lack of good content that's out.
Yeah, I agree. I do.
So that's what I mean. Waiting. So when something comes out that's refreshing, it's like, man.
But
where have y'all been?
Want refreshing though.
I think so. I think. Say for instance, you remember Tiki Punch, right?
Hmm.
The old
she's not from the east side, she don't know about Tiki Punch.
Oh, okay. You,
exactly.
Of course. It's a drink that
it's a soda.
Was yes, it's a soda.
You don't that.
You're that not from this side.
We love
it's like a poor version.
Yeah.
It's a poor version.
Of Hawaiian Punch.
Of Hawaiian Punch.
He says I'm bougie.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
the voice is
that
bougie.
Novelty item, you know what I mean? Like so it doesn't mean we won't buy it. We just can't find it because they stopped making it.
Yeah.
So if the supply, if the demand is supplied, then we'll appreciate it.
So what do you think? You think that we're coming back with good music? Because I feel like production is sounding better.
Yeah, you see us going back to veteran artists right now.
That is a weird.
You know what I mean? Because that's where the quality is.
But is that the West or is
no Scarface is being talked about right now because of that tiny dust
that he put.
I mean, listen. When you see the real, it's just unbeatable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see something great, you know. And that's the reality. So I did have questions that, like, when you see, like, if you saw something, would you know it's great? But watching people talk about Scarface, like, they didn't know this nigga was, like, I keep having this conversation. Like, if you just notice this now, like, what, I guess, you know, I can't say nothing. Like, whenever you finally catch on, it's fine with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
that goes back to the followers concept.
And but look
with the media
in his prime, look how many options we had to enjoy music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plethora of different levels. We had EPMD, we had everybody.
Yeah,
now we just the radio is one long song.
But that's why some songs get broken 8 years later. It just depends on how it got broken, the time frame.
Yeah,
what era.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think the artists are bad now. I think the producers are bad now.
I agree.
And I think great producers produce artists. So to ask an artist to be great without being produced is as asking an actor to be great without being directed.
And the artist got to be trusting to go somewhere that's not even in their data bank. Well, trusting a producer to give them something that's left of what they're accustomed to.
Well, the best part was before today, right? You didn't have a choice because you for sure wasn't gonna have your own setup because you ain't know how to work nothing.
Yeah.
So you needed the producer, and as it became more accessible to everybody, you know, hence the dilemma of where it's like now artists feel like they know something because they feel like, oh, I threw my hat in because I downloaded this beat off YouTube and I recorded it myself.
Mm.
So a lot of the artists are turning into producers because they don't have enough money to.
True.
To you know, because engineering is a part of production too.
Yeah.
Like me, you know that, but
very much
we got the kind of relationship where we know what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've said this a million times, but it's really important. Like I'm grateful that he trusts me and be like, "G, do your thing."
Because
there's certain things I'm like, "I fucked up. We can go back." He's like, "Yeah, we gotta go back." But there's certain things he kept. He was like, "I like that. That works." So
okay, I feel again, like we gotta go back to quality as well because. Even when there was producers producing artists, there were still mixing and mastering engineers that were a part of the project that made sure that it was finessed to the point where, okay, quality is now here.
I agree.
Right? And there was teams. There was teams of writers. There was teams of, it still happens today with those with budgets. I think people need to realize that that element is so important in making a full project, because that's what you did with yours. You didn't just have, you had, EP did produce the whole album, but you had other producers or mixing engineers.
Sure, that
came
is
in.
Part of the production.
yeah, it is.
Know that's all part of the production. But again, it's a team effort. Like, it's not a team effort on all fronts, but it's a team effort making a record. Jason Joshua was somebody we didn't talk about, but Jason Joshua was like a, that's like having Kevin Durant of mixing. And this nigga tough. And he mixed probably four or five cuts and gave us a lot of direction. And EA Ski, somebody who's been around the business for a while, and didn't have Les didn't have to even figure it out himself. Like, Les is stuck. Shout out to Lester Mendoza. He mixed majority of the album, probably like six or seven songs. But
in the
also,
ninth hour, too.
Yeah, in the ninth hour. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of the ninth. And but he had a good guideline. He knew what to compare it to, and you can see people shine. But, man, some of those songs, man, like, something somebody said to me the other day, too, because it's like, it's one guy making a song now. He's in a room. He downloaded the beat off YouTube. He's in a room. He recorded himself, and that's the whole thing.
Right.
James Brown is 13 niggas on the song, man. It's 13 niggas. Is everybody playing instruments? It's the engineer. It's the nigga helping produce the idea. Yeah. It's his homeboy. That's his nigga that he listened to. It's James. It's 13 people. Go look at them Death Row records. It's about 20 people in the credits.
I'm trying to tell you. It was a real team working.
So that is another thing, too. A lot of the artists today are left, too, because it ain't just they want to. You know, again, you're talking about a poor sport, so you ain't got to, you can't pay everybody. But, I mean, listen. I don't like using the term quality, right? Because I think it is a real term, but I don't think most people know what we're talking about when we start talking about frequencies and fields. Like, it's different. Like, it's much more to it. But you do need some help. So, like, if a rapper listens to No Ceilings, you do need some help. And you may have to find other poor people like you to help you.
Yeah,
I mean, other poor people who may play the piano, other poor people who may play.
Build your team.
Production.
Build your team.
Just find other poor people that want to come up like you. Like, me and EP happen to be near in the same place in the business where we've had some success. We know what it's like. So then you combine power. L.A. Johns have had some stuff. And Jason is, you know, he's, EP didn't won. Actually, EP didn't fucking won. I got one plaque. EP got a few and some Grammy shit. So. You just got to work with the people. You got to keep trying. That's another thing. You can't stop, bro. Exactly. You have to keep trying. Like, very this shit true. Is tiresome.
This shit
is tiresome. Like, being out here, especially now. Like, when I was 24, this shit was a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Being 44, like, people talking about ageism and hip-hop. And, you know, it ain't about am I not as good. Or somebody 17, you play my shit for somebody 16, 17, they're going to be like, man, that nigga hard. But the problem with getting 44 also is your ass be tired.
Yeah.
I don't be feel like fucking with these crazy ass niggas all the time. I got better things that I'd rather be fishing
I
or something.
I can tell, though.
I'm a go. Yeah. I'm a go because.
You go.
I'm a go because really, the last fucking 12 years, like, I've been preparing.
So you expected it already. You have a high level of expectations knowing that you have to move. This is it. Because everybody else is moving. They're hitting all these platforms. If you're going to compete in any type of level, on any type of level,
this is what it takes.
This is what it takes.
So you can get lucky. Like, you know, you don't have to work hard to make money. You don't have to put in work to make money. You can actually hit the lottery.
True. But you can be broke one day.
How you like your chances.
Rich the next or vice versa. Chances.
But this is the way. So what I realized, right, it's like when you first come into hip-hop, it's a dark room. You can't see nothing. You just throwing shit at the wall hoping it stick. Right? You have no idea. And usually you meet other people, you know, who know something, right? Yeah. Like, if you Snoop Dogg, you come in the room, you don't know shit. You just making songs in 1989 and 88. You don't know shit. You just rapping. And then Dr. Dre scoops you up, right? Warren hooks you up with Dr. Yeah. Dre, and then you now Dre, who knows the room, is like, okay, this is what we're gonna do. DOC, who knows the space, like, this is what we're gonna do. Mm-hmm. So it goes from this empty dark room where you just wandering around to this, when you know what's going on, to this illuminated walkway.
You never know what's gonna come.
So you only can see the right path. Yeah. You can no longer see the wrong way. Only one path is lit. No other path is lit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like that's what it is for me. It's like the only thing that stops is you're tired of walking, but you know this is the right way. This is the only way to go. So like even now what I'm doing, right? We started off on the East Coast, went to the Bay, now we're in Atlanta, we're in England and France next month, Japan in February, Texas in March. This is the right way to walk. You don't even know where the end is at. You just know if you keep walking this way,
because
for
along
sure
the,
you're going to get there.
Because along the way, more opportunities are presented.
Yeah, you know this is where all the opportunities is. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what the end looks like because the end may not be $1 million. The end may not be a platinum record. The end may not be nothing. You just keep walking. And everything else just starts to happen to you along the way.
It might be the beginning of something as well.
Yeah.
But none of this happens, and this part is not spoken on enough. None of this happens unless you are willing to invest in yourself. Most people are just sitting on the side waiting on somebody.
Behind some social media, waiting on somebody. Because I'm talented.
Because I'm dope.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, everybody's dope because the threshold for dope has been lowered so much. That now everybody's dope. Now, are you even bold enough to go off the beaten path and be yourself and create something and bring some authenticity into the to the game?
To the fold.
To even stand out, to give yourself half a chance. Most people just follow what's already out and they die with that sound because they didn't create nothing of their own.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Do you feel like, Glasses, this is a question specifically for you. Do you feel like this project is the best, not that you've done, but the best presentation of today for you?
The
message, but.
So it's the most Glasses record I've ever made.
How so?
It's really the polarizing version of who I am, as a human being creatively. And most of my music doesn't always rep. Pretty much none of my music until probably 2019, maybe a couple songs before, represented that. But what makes me a special human is, for some reason, I just carry this weird polarity, this weird kind of space of conversation, to where it's like, my thoughts literally trigger people.
Mm-hmm. So this is your most authentic version of you in this time, because it might not have been how you felt 10 years ago.
No, this was me the whole time.
So it's always been.
But I never watered it down, but I wouldn't know how to deliver it through music either.
Mm.
Like,
so you had to have evolved into this and then delivered the project.
Informed into this. Because I don't even know if it's an evolution to stay alive as much as as you take in knowledge of how to accomplish things in records, how to, my innate thing was I could put together a project before. Like, I was already decent at kind of telling a story. I just didn't know how to do it with the tools sonically. But I could tell a story from beginning to end, you know, so it was different. But this, to me, is the most Glasses project, because it really carries every bit of the polarity that I am as well. So I'll leave it to other people. More people than not saying it's my best project.
Okay. And do you think that it has everything to do with the fact that you had one producer?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, yes, right? I don't know. That's like using a backboard with basketball. Your chances increase significantly to make the shot if you have one person producing. One person overseeing the sound. Because producing is not, like, moving, like, it's the EP actually made all of these beats. EP most likely is going to be producing most of my stuff moving forward, even if he doesn't make every beat. Now, that's not to say he's going to make every beat, right? He's going to have to Dr. Dre a lot of shit. Somebody might give him an idea. He got to play this missing, this, add this. Right, so he'll probably be my producer moving forward, but that don't mean he's stuck making every beat. You know what I mean? It's just like, and when I'm saying that don't mean he's not gonna have to work on every beat. I'm just saying he might not have to sit there. Like, this different. He had to go drums to motherfucking hi-hats. You know, lowest frequency to top frequency. He might get to, here, man, just work on this Zaytoven, play on this Zaytoven, what's missing? And he'll play in this EP produced with Zaytoven. To me, that's the most important thing, too, getting EP with a lot more people so people could really see how good he is. You know what I mean? That's important, like getting him with Tomb. And I want him to work with it. I want people to work with EP like people work with Scott Storch.
Yeah, you do have that about you, where you want people.
Because if I think you're great, you should see they're great.
With each other, get together. And
I want other people to see how great he is. That don't have nothing to do with me. This nigga great.
But you feel he makes you great as well, though.
Oh, yeah. But it's all a rise to accomplishments. Just like as we get into another space, and let's say we go do something with Dre, it's going to make us rise to a different level. We do something with Cat. That's going to make us rise to a different. What I hope is eventually Cat or Quick call him like, man, let's do something with Glasses. And they want to do it together. Like, my goal is to put EP into the proper perspective. I want to assist him doing that. I want to assist him doing that. I want to make sure that he actually goes exactly where he needs to go.
Much love.
I think that's where we're missing that, too, as far as artists. Artists, they're so focused on themselves. I want to be the king. I want to be the queen. So focus on me. But this situation that you have the power of collaboration in your mind. So you're naturally going to bring. You've done that to me, too.
Yeah, but that's the point. Like, what difference if I make all these connections, mm-hmm. right? These people, some of these people you don't know, right? You have a huge Rolodex, mm-hmm. right? The Voice has a huge Rolodex mm-hmm. of motherfuckers. But it's some motherfuckers you don't got.
Right.
But if I give you these motherfuckers, the next motherfucker, you better run this shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because ultimately it helps the team grow, because then yeah. I can add some new yeah. opportunities outside of what we're and doing and bring yeah. you in.
And some of the people are still ascending.
Yeah.
Right. We are.
All.
No, what I'm saying is some of the people you might meet
oh, yeah,
somebody
facts.
Here that's opening the door mm-hmm. and he remembered the voice yeah. in right. next 3 years. Right. Now
he might
you
be
have
that nigga.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, no, it's that also goes to the person also that immediately I connected with as a child, my favorite player, Magic Johnson, right? Mm. The pass is as important as the score. Mm. The flair is in the pass. See, if you grew up in the 90s, you're a selfish dick because mm-hmm. you think Michael Jordan is a shit. You just want to score and blah, 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 mm-hmm. toot your own fucking horn. Right. But if you grew up in the 80s watching Magic Johnson, the pass is the flair mm-hmm. and the victory is in the pass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if James Worthy dunk it. The pass is the flair. I feel as accomplished as EP when he gets the next shit and niggas like, yeah, I need the EP. Yep.
So is it the pass or is it the end goal?
It's the game. Like, if I looked at the... I don't even know what the finish looks like.
Mm. That end goal, that win, though.
But what's
really
winning?
What if we just keep passing and we keep missing?
We ain't missing.
And the thing is, it's about building the team. And I understand that. So I'm not taking it as, okay, I deserve this, or let me take this and run with it somewhere else. It's like, he knows I pour it right back into... the yeah, same place that. Where I got it from.
I love it. You know, I was just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, of course.
But I love that.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So it's really...
Take The Voice, for instance.
Yeah. It's really...
You do a lot of things that you don't have to do or that you're not commissioned to do
mm-hmm.
for the greater cause of the team winning, because you understand Ooh. That we all win if we all have the same mind state.
And then right. what does winning look like? Okay, we should set winning right now.
Yeah.
What's okay. winning? What's a win for this project?
A win for this project for me would be to, for it to be notable, for it to be a avenue to open other doors and take some of the burden that we put into this off of us and allow some more people opportunity because we sacrificed in the beginning.
So find partners and find, so to attract the partners that we need to take off the burden to keep doing the work.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
What's a win? Mm. What's a win for Cancel These Nuts? For the Voices participation. What's a win? Well, you're like, that's a win. That's a good win for what Glasses started.
Sustainability.
So the ability to do it again.
So much more than that. It needs to be a classic at some point.
Okay.
Sustainability meaning in 10 years, I want to be able to say, yeah, I do pull out the album and stream it. You know, yeah, I do talk about that in conversation with people, whatever song I choose, because you have so many. And I'm basing that particular topic on a panel, you know, and opening up perspectives. So now your legacy lives on because you were bold enough to be authentic. A lot of rappers won't come out, not even just rappers, a lot of men and black men, because y'all have it hard as it is, will not come out and speak about these topics for fear of being canceled. So we won't name some names because that's going on today.
You can name all the names, but go ahead.
Certain people just aren't talking to the point where they're in tears.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I saw that too. And Monique don't even look crazy no more.
Listen. But it's true, though, and I want this album to be a spark, because you already have success in whatever perspective you want to look at it at. But sustainability, how long can we continue talking about you? Can you be a Scarface at this point mm-hmm. in 10 years, right? Starting with this album. This
so
could
you,
be
so
the
yeah,
creation
win,
yeah. of...
So when... You know, it takes time for you to figure out a win, too. I could dig it.
It's much more than just...
It's great that
definition.
You even paused to even define what a win looks like.
Yeah, because I never
Not
thought
too many
about
people
that.
Do that. Mm-hmm. We just go and go and go.
I think that's the key to success. I don't even like saying the word success because I think progress is more potent than the word success. Because when you think success, it's like, okay, so what is success? We reached what goal? Because isn't that progress? Because if you say we're successful now, that means that there's no longer any future goals.
Of course.
So I think progress leads to sustainability. So, just like you said the other day, we're not worried about what we're just going to go. We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Just focus on being better. That's what it is. And then all of us, if we have that same mentality.
Yeah. When a majority of people that are on this quest of releasing music, that's the goal for them, just to release it. They have no idea what to do next.
Right.
That's why I was telling G, just walking up here, people don't have a connection outside of their neighborhood. So what we're doing, even being here, is huge. Mm-hmm. Being in New York is huge, and having relationships. Yeah. Imagine if somebody just said, okay, I'm going to promote. I see what y'all are doing. I'm going to land in New York. What do you do next? Yeah. You don't know nobody.
That's true.
And
this is a road that probably only we could take independently at this point.
Yeah.
For me, success is every day. Every day. That's really, I have to kind of micromanage what's going on. So, like, success was getting right here, right now, by 12.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was like, okay, I'm 12:03. I'll take that. That's okay. That's not the game I wanted. I wanted 11:57.
Right.
But I'll take 12:03. Right? Okay. Making it to the next thing at 2.
Yeah.
Exceeding at, once we get to the progress report, exceeding. Having a conversation that makes the interviewer say, damn, I never thought about it like that.
First impression.
Right. And not even just first, but and literally last. Presenting a conversation that gives people perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. After that, okay, let's go get them lamb chops.
Amazing lamb chops.
No. Oh, goodness.
Right.
But that's true, because if you don't get up and get out and go to a podcast or an interview or a radio station, doesn't matter where, and speak your mind, then you're only leaving the audience with just those words on your songs.
Sure.
That's it. But once they tune into your interviews, they can go, this guy is intelligent. He's a hip hop, scholar.
Yeah, he fuck with it.
Scholar.
You know?
Scholar.
I feel like
Yeah.
He fuck with it.
You know, so.
Yeah, he fuck with it. So
yeah, and this is the thing that I'm learning on these runs, which I didn't know before. Like, and he... Like, I'm learning so much. So I feel like I'm in school, right? So learning when we go do these interviews and these podcasts that it's not about selling the product.
No.
It's about selling you and having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And then some
eventually.
But some conversations never lead really back to the project.
No.
We will mention it, but it's more about, man, I didn't even know you was that deep.
Right.
You offer a different perspective, but the clip that comes out later on allows you to be like, man, I like this dude. Now let me listen to his project.
Or I don't like him.
Or I don't,
Yeah, we did like one with Horrible Decisions, and the brand of that show is more or less girls who kind of want to be free and don't be judged for being free. And then somebody steps on and say, hey, you need to put some like boundaries on yourself. You need to do something if your goal is to obtain this finish.
That's the control of media.
Right.
I have to do that as a publicist. Oh, don't say that. Don't do this. The media will control it. The labels will control it. But you have full control.
Yeah.
So with this full control, you can speak and say what you want. Sometimes you'll get the backlash.
Sure.
But it does open up conversation, and that's what's key, is people continuing to talk about you.
Yeah. As a gangster rapper, your job is to be the greatest villain.
I like that.
But as a man, you got to do it in truth.
I like that.
And you got to document the time that you're in.
Yeah. Like you... Like, they were mad. They was like, Glass, I can't believe he said, hold it till we're married.
Mm.
In 2023, nigga, that made me Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
They like, I'm Hitler of the pussy.
Walked out the show.
I'm Hitler of the pussy. Mm. So I'm like, hold that thing till you get married. They was like, how dare you tell us to save ourselves for somebody?
Oh, no.
How dare you speak such a way, Glasses?
We have needs.
We need to actually fulfill our needs, but we still want everybody to accept us and respect us. And I'll just be right there looking like the villain himself. I'll be just looking like Hitler up there at the podium, and they just be like,
shout out to West Coast Cam. Y'all go through that.
Yeah.
To where people are like, did he just say that?
Yeah.
But you're bold enough to know what your purpose on this earth is.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always favorable.
It's usually not.
Yeah, yeah. It's not always favorable. You know what I mean? It's like Jesus chasing the money changers out the temple. Not the Jesus that everybody like. They got that'll never get taught. But it's the one of money changers.
Flipping over the tables and all
tripping
that,
with the broom. Fuck out of here.
Where is he?
Yeah, I mean, that's me all the time. That's the version of Jesus that
I think we need to see that version more.
The Martin Luther King I am is I've been to the mountaintop. I had a dream, Martin. I've been to the mountaintop, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the one
who rebelled, though, because he rebelled, too. Yeah. That's why.
I've been to the mountaintop. If you listen to that speech, ironically, in Atlanta, right, his hometown, and this speech was in Memphis before he got shot. This is what got him shot.
Mm.
Can't just be telling people shit. So, I expect the women to come together and try to pack me out.
So what's the limit? Is there a limit? Because can you be that villain without saying kill, kill, kill? And taboo topics. I like the idea of taboo topics because it makes you think.
This is the thing. And this was just 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I got back in the car with Glass. I said, bro, who are you? Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't your taboo topics. It was sports.
Oh.
And the analogies that he had, and he's well-versed, and I'm not just saying that because he's my partner, but like I was really taken back just sitting there like, he really controlled this room and gave them some perspectives that they had no idea that was coming.
Mm.
And again, polarizing. Mm-hmm. So
you got to get out there. You got to talk. But answer the question in your perspective.
The weird part is people think that I'm doing this with intent to be polarizing. It's really what I think. And that's the problem. Like, ask somebody like EP who's just chilling with me. That's just in the car. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about some shit and that's just how I come out. But I think it's different because I'm talking to him consistently, so it's well explained. Like, we having a greater conversation. But most of the time, people introduce me to ideas all the time, and I listen to them.
Okay, but back to the villain. How is there a limit?
No.
No limit.
Hitler levels. Jesus levels.
Okay, Jesus so level at the villains. State that we're in rap, where it's screw kill, Hitler. Kill, and
Jesus levels in villain.
Jesus
levels of villainy. Hang you in front of the whole town.
Mm.
Hitler is too lame and easy. Because he did something that people can desire and feel is worthy of whatever happened. I mean, he did some crazy shit. Jesus levels of villainy. Martin Luther King levels of villainy. Where you like, you know what I mean? Muhammad Ali levels of villainy. You know what I mean? Where you just like out of control with this villain shit. They like, how dare him think he gonna come to this slut walk and talk to us that way? I should be at the slut walk with my movement rapping. Kanye should have never married that bitch.
Mm. At what point does it get? Okay. Where does it get to the point where you question if what you're doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing? And if it is, okay, so be it. But at what point do you say? Because if you want to talk about the Jesus story, then even Jesus said, you sure this is the way it has to end? Because if it is, okay, I'm going to go out there and ride
obviously
it out.
Obviously, I'm not as great as Jesus, did you?
But just the story, the concept.
Well, yeah, it's going to always come up short of Jesus. That just, you know, you just got to walk your purpose. If I wasn't tasked for it, they'd be different. I'm not trying. I'm not trying. I'm not prepared. I'm not trying. I read all the time at home. I watch sports. It's just what I think. And I've done it enough to understand that this is what I should be saying. So I'm not trying. Like, I swear to God on Olivia, I'm not looking for things to people to be outraged. I just kind of notice things and I'll be like, oh damn, that's crazy. Like, like Key Sweat Make It Last Forever is better than bad.
Mm-hmm.
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the West Coast of the USA and produced by my homeboy, A King, for the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.